Real families, real farms, real food. Welcome to Arizona Agriculture Connection with Maricopa County Farm Bureau. My name is Nicole Clements, Executive Director, and I'll be your host. Maricopa County Farm Bureau is the voice of agriculture in a community that thrives on the dichotomy of urban and rural agriculture operations. This podcast is a home for farmers, ranchers, food lovers, prospective agriculturalists, and those looking to connect the food on their plate with the farm that it came from. As we take an inside look at agriculture in Arizona, we will delve into topics like ag technology, policy, food preparation, and everything in between. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform with new episodes every Wednesday. Arizona Agriculture Connection is hosted by Maricopa County Farm Bureau and sponsored by Paloma Ready Mix and Materials, a proud supporter of agriculture and our communities. Be sure to subscribe and share your favorite episodes with your friends. For more interactions, follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Maricopa County FB. Now let's discover some Arizona agriculture. All right, welcome back, Arizona Aggies, to another episode of Arizona Agriculture Connection. This week, I have our friend Rusty Van Leeuwen with the Arizona Department of Ag, Director of Air Quality. And we're going to talk about the titillating topic of air quality in Arizona and everything that that entails. So welcome, Rusty. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on this very important topic.
Absolutely. So why don't we start with a little bit about your background, your history, your education experience, and how did that bring you to the Department of Ag?
I graduated from the University of Arizona with a Bachelor of Science in Agricultural Economics, and that led me to the Department of Ag 31 years ago as a plant, insect, and disease inspector. So I spent my first 15 years in Plant Services Division, inspecting plants, writing certifications. I spent a real small time with the department's cotton plow down program. And then when that left, I left that part. And that's what kind of between that and my connections with the Nursery Association led me into this role when this role opened up to start learning about air quality and using my connections to start working with producers on air quality. And at that time, the air quality rules were starting to be implemented. So it was kind of an important and exciting time to get into that role and start learning about air quality.
So what does Director of Air Quality entail? Kind of what do you oversee?
I oversee air quality in the sense of PM10 and PM2.5, and that's basically your dust and your really fine dust. We dabble a little bit in VOCs with ozones and methane. Since we do have dairies here, and there are some, the EPA has been trying to do some stuff with methane that hasn't quite taken effect here in the West, but we're seeing that eventually going to happen. So we kind of keep our eye on that. But most of the time, it's PM10 issues.
And so for those listening that maybe don't know the difference, so a lot of times we just see like general air quality alerts and, you know, carpool today or catch the bus or... What is the difference between kind of those three pillars of the air quality, the ozone, PM10, and PM2.5?
Oh, we'll start with PM10, which is the biggest and the most common one. It's dust that's particulate matter that's 10 microns or smaller. And a micron is, think of it, it's 10 particles. There's 6 particles to a strand of hair. So we're talking something really, really small. And then 2.5 is even smaller than that because you're cutting that down by another fourth. So those are the biggest things. Ozone is a component of various pollutants, and it has PM10, 2.5, VOCs, and that's made up of, you know, car exhaust, smoke. So the alert you get on ozone, it's going to be from exhaust, but it's going to have smoke and the real small dust coming off. You know, anything that's having to do with dust making. And it's going to be that really small 2.5. The alerts that are going to come out on particulate matter, those you don't really see very often. Each individual community or industries will see those, and they will work on taking care of those individual alerts. But the big ones everybody sees on the highways and you see on the radio and TV alerts is going to be ozone. And again, on the dust side, it's just a very small portion. It's the 2.5.
So when we think about kind of what our climate and our landscape and what has impacted the most for us here in this kind of in the valley in Arizona, but, you know, kind of the state as a whole, you know, the dust is a big thing. And especially with as many haboobs as we see, you know, do you see that affecting how you guys kind of operate and regulate? Does the weather have a big impact on that?
Yes. And that's originally EPA didn't really see the desert and the dust coming off the desert creating a problem or creating a problem, but they saw it as the various industries, construction, agriculture, vehicles. They didn't see that the dust coming off the desert was an issue, was, I don't know how to explain this better. They thought that these industries could solve that problem. And so they still had to be regulated, even with these big haboobs and so forth. Within the last 10 years, thanks to here in Maricopa County, and we're working on other counties, they have exceptional vent exceedances that will let you take those dust coming off the desert, the haboobs, the one-in-a-time storms that come during the monsoons. They'll take that data out, and so we stay in attainment on what, you know, the monitors don't trigger. Well, they still trigger, but we don't get credit. We don't get dinged for the trigger because of the exceeding events caused by the desert. So when it comes to agriculture on those things, we just got to make sure agriculture is doing what they're supposed to do so they're not adding to that dust coming off the desert.
And that's sort of where the ag BMPs come in?
And that's right. That's when we start. Very important is the ag BMPs to do every day. And then especially when these big events happen, that you've got ag BMPs in place so that they don't add to those. And then, again, these exceedances don't count against us.
Awesome. So when we talk about ag BMPs, so it kind of stands for Agriculture Best Management Practices.
Right.
And so can you kind of run down a list of what are things that agriculture is doing to protect our air quality?
Yeah, the Ag BMP program, again, is like you mentioned, it's best management practices. It's set up, and every county has got little tweaks, but in Maricopa County, it's set up in three categories: tillage and harvest, cropland, and non-cropland. And those BMPs are different in each of those different categories. So let's take tillage and harvest. A big major one, and probably 90% of the growers, it's a big one that works, is when there's a dust event about to happen, you cease operations. You don't do anything. You don't tillage. You don't harvest. You just stop operations and don't add any extra dirt or dust into the air during those events. And you'll also get notifications when those things happen, so you'll know ahead of time when to stop doing those activities. Certain things like alfalfa is a multi-year event or a multi-year crop. So that just the fact that you have the alfalfa down as a crop, it acts as a yearly long crop. So you're not in that field harvesting it, digging up dust. Now you harvest the alfalfa, but you're not getting the dirt. So it kind of anchors the dirt until you have to dig that crop up in, you know, 3 or 4 years. Some of the other ones that are in that category would be your watering, making sure your fields are watered ahead of time, putting that crust on top of the top of your rows before you get the tractors and start to plant, so it kind of keeps some of that dust down. Then on your non-crop land, that would be your stuff like your roads, making sure you got water on your roads or you've got aggregate cover on your roads. One of the big ones that some farmers use, especially in the West Valley there at Duncan Farms, they use the trees, plant the large trees as windbreaks, and they'll give you protection on those roads. And then on your cropland stuff, when the land is not being used and is sitting there vacant for between your plantings, you can do surface roughening, which is, again, you dig up that dirt and make clods instead of really fine dirt so the wind doesn't blow that fine dirt around. Again, and then there's, if you're rotating crops, the fact that you're rotating different crops in and out, well, it creates helps keep the soil down, that you're not in that field all the time. So it's just little things like that that were created, that were already being used by the ag community, that are also, then they've been scientifically looked at, that they work. So that's why they're used in the BMP program.
So it kind of goes back to, you know, our farmers have always made best use of the land, but just kind of establishing some of those regulations and seeing, I think it kind of goes both ways. So from, you know, a scientific research perspective and then kind of what farmers have been doing all along and combining the two to ensure that we're just really able to keep track and then mitigate the problem, you know, as best as to our ability.
Yeah, and then that leads to the other side, again, when you talk about enforcement. And the good thing about this program, it's under the state's jurisdiction, and under the state, the inspectors are going to come out, and there's only one inspector statewide, I take it back, two inspectors statewide, and they're going to come out on complaints. They don't come out and just to harass the growers, or it'll be a complaint-driven inspections. And then they'll come out and verify that you're doing your BMPs, you have paperwork that you're supposed to keep on file, that they'll request for you to provide, and you know, show all the documents of when you watered the roads, when so forth, and then that clarifies that, yeah, you're doing your BMPs, and then it's okay, you're doing exactly what needed to be done, you're doing the best that you can, that you got to, we live in a desert, and there's going to be dust, but you're doing everything you can, and so that's the only inspection part that you have to, that the state does. Now, I should clarify that there are two things that the state doesn't have jurisdiction over, and that's where the county does, and that's going to be track out. If you have any mud or anything that goes onto a paved road, county can come in and make you clean that up, because that eventually turns into 2.5. And then if you have any operations that are creating a hazard, where it's so much dust that you can't see across the road or cause an accident or something, the county can come in and take jurisdiction and give you whatever fines are needed. But those are the only two that really ag has to worry about, to make sure they don't go toward. You know, they take care of everything. And most of the time, ag's good at making sure that all this all the BMPs are in place, so it doesn't get something to that point.
Yeah, it seems pretty common sense, really, for most of it. You know, bottom line is we do live in the middle of the desert, and there's going to be dust. Unfortunately, I myself live on a dirt road, and you can do whatever you can, but at the end of the day, it's still, you know, dusty in the desert.
And speaking of dirt roads, is one of the BMPs is keep your speeds down on the roads. If you keep it under 15 miles per hour, that's the threshold to keep that dust down to where it's not going to be causing any triggers.
Yeah, when you live out in those rural communities and you have these big, nice, wide dirt roads like some of us have, you know, it's easy for people to come out there and run 50, 60 miles an hour and just leave a dirt cloud behind them. But I think it's a little bit of, you know, common sense for everybody to just do your best and do your part in helping to mitigate the situation of air quality.
Yep.
So when we think about methane, and, you know, there's a lot of talk around cows, and we know that, you know, nationwide, cows as a whole only produce less than 2% of the total of greenhouse gases. So how do the cows contribute to the air quality, and kind of what is the story surrounding some of that?
Well, like you said, it's a greenhouse gas issue. Here in the West, particularly here in Arizona and then Maricopa County, we have a lot of dairies. Methane's really hasn't been an issue here so much. There's not really a monitor that monitors methane. So, and a lot of this stuff is monitor driven. It's a very small amount that's been scientifically shown that the dairies and the cattle are doing to greenhouse gases. Now, the big thing that we really appreciate and a lot of dairies are doing is capturing that methane and turn it into energy. And I think that's going to be a big help if more and more dairies start doing that. And that's where we can reduce more methane out of the you know, released, and turn it into an energy source. And there's a couple dairies here that are doing that. So that would be a nice thing to do if we can get some money available for more dairies to do that.
Yeah, in a perfect world, they would all have, you know, a system like that. But the kind of bottom line is it costs a lot of money to invest in a methane digester, and you know, that's a lot of capital, but sometimes there's grants and things available for things like that.
There can be. NRCS is a great grant for ag people to use. They have EQIP. There might be some stuff in EQIP that will deal with digesters or methane. There was a committee that I sat on with the governor's office this last year, and it kind of got disbanded a little bit. And we looked at trying to find ways to get money to ag to do other things. And methane digesters was one of the things we looked at to see how we can get money, where we can find money to get to dairies for digesters. Again, that didn't go far, and that committee may come back after doing some research and then see if there's other things. We also not just looked at methane, it was a greenhouse gas committee, but we looked at some other things to soil health, to reduce nitrogen or reduce pollutants coming out of the soil, so forth, stuff like that. But that's the hard thing, is trying to find money. There's not a lot of money out there to do some of these projects.
Absolutely. So maybe kind of backtracking for just a minute, when we think about the ozone alerts in the valley specifically, can you speak to maybe what is the biggest driver of those high ozone days, and what is kind of being done to mitigate some of those issues?
Well, the ozone days, again, they're going to be driven by the heat. I mean, they're based on when we have a very hot day, that increases the ozone levels. It gets trapped, and there's inversion layers involved in those calculations. So when a warning comes out, it takes an effect of all those factors. So again, on the ag side, what ag producers need to do on when they see those events, those days, is do anything you can to reduce your 2.5. Again, it's going to be based on heat, so it's going to be dry. If you're riding on the roads, stay under 15 miles per hour. If you're in the fields, maybe put extra water down before you do any work out on the field. They're not wind driven, so they can't do anything that's going to keep you from keeping the wind from blowing it off. But it's going to be just little things like that, because again, we're dealing with 2.5, just little things that could help out with reducing that 2.5. And then the other part on that ozone stuff is, on those ozone alerts, are wood fire. If you're burning any wood, you got to reduce that or stop doing that during these warnings. On the landscaping side is blowing your dust, your treated landscape into the roads. You can't be doing that where cars will blow that up into the air. And then on the actual ozone side, it's not driving, cut back on your driving. If you're using tractors in the field, maybe cut back on some of the tractor use to reduce some of that emissions.
So from my experience in previous conversations that I've had, a lot of the contributing factor, we think about the landscape, not only us being in the middle of a desert, but also being, this quote unquote, the valley. So having, higher elevations to the north and to the south, and we see it kind of settling here because we're in a lower spot. Is that something that is contributing to that? Or?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because we do live in a valley of mountains, and we do have inlets coming into that. We do get a lot of ozone and smoke, and so it's coming from Mexico, coming from California, and currently we get in trouble for that. And so through ADQ MAG, they're trying to document and demonstrate how much of that's coming in, so we can get that reduced out of our figures, so we can stay in attainment of ozone by pulling out some of that factors. Again, we're still going to get that stuff coming in, and we can't stop that stuff, but we can at least not get tagged and get in trouble for it. And we can use that to help reduce some of the stuff we're doing based on, okay, we can get that number reduced, we can reduce even further and so forth. But that just makes it even a higher number when we look at incoming smoke and smog and ozone coming from other sources.
Yeah, and those things are out of our control. Absolutely. There's nothing you can do about that except just, mitigate your situation as it comes through. But, I think that is something, we say the valley all the time, and it's kind of our moniker, but we don't often stop to think about what that really entails as far as our quality here. And it's just incredibly interesting to hear about all of the things on the back end that really come in and contribute to our air quality situation. It's so much more than just an alert on the road as you're driving down the highway.
That person that gets that alert or just hears it, they don't understand that those alerts come because of other things, other factors. Again, from other countries, from smoke. I mean, they've documented dust coming here from China. I mean, it's a long ways for dust to get here. And then, some of the smoke from the fires in Canada, and it makes it here. So that adds to our levels.
That's absolutely wild to think about. So If you were to say, you know, kind of a bottom line, what is agriculture's impact on air quality in Arizona?
I think it's a big impact. Again, agriculture is a dirty, dusty job. I mean, you're creating dust, but you've got things in place to reduce and mitigate as much dust that you can create. You have to have food. We have to have fiber. We have to be able to feed cattle. So whatever, I mean, and agriculture is doing their best, and I believe here in Maricopa County that because we haven't had a big issue in the last 5 or 6 years that we're pretty much staying close to in attainment. This program's working. Growers have bought in. They're doing what they can, and they're making the changes to implement their BMPs, and we're reducing that dust.
I think kind of jumping back again a little bit, agriculture and crops, you know, they cover some of the ground and kind of help eliminate some of that dust. But when we think about, as a farmer, as a producer, when you think about your crops, soil health is one of the biggest things that you consider and really make a priority in your operation. So do we see a difference in those farmed soils versus, you know, just an open desert soil in, you know, maybe the PM size or the quality, and how that would maybe impact some of that?
Yeah, soil health plays a big part in, you have better soil health, you have better soil, you have less fine particles that get in the air. We have rotation crops here, and that helps with your soil health, and that's great. On a side note, we talked about grants. Department of Ag is looking at having a grant on soil health and the use of water, and that's gonna be coming out soon on more information on that grant. So there's going to be some money available on soil health right there to help growers figure out ways to use water conservation to create that soil health. And then that applies into air quality. That better soil health creates less dust, and so we have less dust going up in the air.
Well, that's some great news. And we'll be keeping our ears open and make sure that we highlight that opportunity when it comes around. Is there any other sort of maybe programs or things that you guys are looking towards in the future?
I mean, that soil health one's the big one. And we think that's going to help, again, like I said, air quality. It's going to help with farmers getting a better crop. Any other program? We have other grants in our office that work on specialty crops. If on the ranchers, there's relief for fires and floods. You just need to contact the Department of Ag if you're interested in any of those grants. Other than that, I mean, that's grant-wise, that's all I can think of right off hand.
Yeah, and we'll have those grants and opportunities linked on our website, MaricopaCountyFB.org, if anybody's interested in getting connected with some of those. Any last words you want to shout out about air quality?
Yeah, just agriculture is it's a tough job, and I don't want to beat a dying horse here that I keep talking about how tough it is to be in agriculture because it's a dirty job and you're in the desert. But I just want the public to know that agriculture is, they know how to work their land. They're experts on water use and how to use their land properly. And so they're not going to do anything that's going to hurt their ability to create a crop and then make some money. So I think agriculture is on board with all the things we have to do for air quality, and they're going to do their best to make sure they're doing what needs to be done. And so that all these pollutants, there'll be issues, but the agriculture is going to be on top and trying to reduce what they're doing, adding to the environment.
For sure. When we think about, maybe again, we're jumping back a lot today, but thinking about, we are looking at crops and then the role that vegetation plays in kind of a carbon sequestration standpoint, that seems to be, to me, maybe another critical piece of that air quality story.
Yes, carbon sequestration is a big issue, and it's an issue that a lot of people don't want to talk about, both on the public and even on the ag side. It's going to be something we're going to have to deal with probably in the future, and it can play a role in some of these pollutants.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Rusty, for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely, keeping us on our toes about all things air quality. Again, some of the things that we've talked about will be linked in the website, MaricopaCountyFB.org. If you have additional questions for Rusty, be sure you can submit those on our website as well. Thanks for tuning in this week to Arizona Agriculture Connection, and catch us next week for the next Ag Report update. Thank you for tuning in today, and remember, Farm Bureau has a place for you. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with your friends on socials. You can also visit our website, MaricopaCountyFB.org, for more information and to submit a topic you want to learn about. Remember to tune in every Wednesday wherever you listen to podcasts. A huge thank you to Paloma Ready Mix and Materials for supporting our agriculture producers and this podcast. Maricopa County Farm Bureau, bringing you the stories of real families, real farms, and real food. I'm Nicole Clements, signing off. Catch you next week.